So the morning of today's message is Sure of What We Do Not See. And we're going to be looking at Hebrews 11, 35 to 40. And this is nearing the end of the chapter of Hebrews 11. And I know that Douglas actually covered some of these verses, but we're going to be focusing on a different part of those verses. Okay. So let's stand and let's read these five verses together. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in the holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. You may be seated. I'm going to pray for us this morning. God, thank you today, Lord, that you invite us to have faith, to trust you, to follow you, to obey you. God, I just ask this morning, God, that there would be a clear picture, God, of what it looks like to follow you, God, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of trials, Lord. So, God, come and open up our ears and our hearts to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Hebrews 11, for many, many weeks now, we've been going through different men and women throughout Scripture that exhibited faith. So they exhibited their trust, their obedience, they followed the Lord. And for a lot of the people that we've covered, they saw breakthrough within their lifetime, right? Abraham. Right, Abraham was someone that we covered. What was the breakthrough for his life when he believed in faith? He got a son, right? Even though that he was super old, like the Lord gave him a son. Good. How about Gideon? Gideon believed in faith, and what was the outcome? They defeated the Midianites, right? Who else? Who did we cover? Moses. Did we cover Moses? A little bit. Moses' parents, right? I think Sandy covered Moses' parents. Rahab. Okay, so what did Rahab, how did Rahab see the breakthrough? She was saved, right? When Jericho and all the walls fell down, that she and her family were saved, okay? Now we're getting to some interesting parts at the end of Hebrews 11. Now it's talking about these guys. They're not named, but you see here that, are they going through good times or bad times? Really bad times, right? What do we make of this? Okay. So here we have the unsung heroes, which is the first 32 verses or so. These are some of the people that we've covered, all right? And if you look at them, more or less, they all believed in God in faith, and when they believed in God in faith, they saw the outcome or the result to varying degrees. But now you have, I'm going to call these people the martyrs, which is in the first five verses that we just read, okay? So it says that they were tortured, jeers, flogging, all right, killed by the sword. They were destitute, persecuted, mistreated. So now my question is this. How are these martyrs examples of faith? All right. So it says they then went through all of these things. All right. Now, the last verses of the ones that we read, they actually say these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. Okay. So these martyrs in these five verses, none of them received what had been promised. So I don't know about you, but when I think about this, like, okay, so they trusted God, they had faith, but they didn't get anything. So how is that an example of faith? You know, I was thinking about this in my head, and I said, I would think it's a little bit cruel of God to say, believe and have faith, but then never come through, right? I can only imagine these martyrs, right? They're saying, God, look how much I suffered for you. I believed and obeyed, but you never came through. You never came through in my circumstance. So how is that faith? Now, I think this is an important question to consider. Because I feel like for us as Christians, this is sometimes where we get stuck. It's like, God, I gave you my devotion. God, I trusted you. God, I had faith in you, but you didn't come through. Have you ever felt like there was a period in your life where you could relate with that? It's like, God, I came to church. Lord, I read my Bible. I did the stuff, but then why did you allow this situation to happen in my life? Why did you allow my family to be so broken? Why did I lose this? Why did I lose that? And as a result, I think sometimes we get discouraged, or we get let down, or we kind of slow down the accelerator, the gas in our pursuit of the Lord. So what do we make of this? This is exactly what I want to focus on today, is what is faith, right? So I think it's a good thing to consider, okay, seeing the juxtaposition of the comparison of these two people, let's go back to what faith actually is. So that's the question. What is faith? So actually, at the very beginning of Hebrews 11, it gives us a definition of what faith is. If you can see it, let's read all four versions, okay? This is Hebrews 11, 1 through 2. All right, starting from the first one, NIV. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Okay? Now, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Faith is the assurance of things you have hoped for, the absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being sure of what we do not see. Now, I added a lot of different translations just to give us some different perspectives of how we understand these two verses. Now, one thing that I noticed when I looked at this definition of faith, there's actually two distinct parts, right? So everything in purple, it's confidence in what we hope for. It brings our hopes into reality, assurance of the things you have hoped for, being sure of what we hope for, okay? But then you see that there's actually a second part. They're both faith, but it's a little bit different. So it says assurance about what we do not see. Foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. The absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. It is being sure of what we do not see. Now let's look at the orange part. What is the common word that you see in orange? Seen, right? Seen or unseen. So that means that there are two ways of how faith functions. I'm going to name the first part confidence of what we hope for and being sure of what we do not see. Okay? So there are things in our life as Christians when we're living out our faith, you believe in faith, you act in faith, and you see results. You see God work his miracles, his signs, and his wonders, and that's faith. And then another way to put it is trusting in God and seeing him work in miracles, seeing the hand of God work. But then there's a second part, which was in orange, is being sure of what we do not see. This is also faith. Acting in faith, though you do not see the results. Continuing to trust in God, even when I don't see him work. And in the five verses that we read this morning is that these martyrs did not receive what had been promised. So actually, in our walk with God, you need both. You need to apply faith and then see God work. But at the same time, there's things that we apply faith and trust and follow and obey the Lord, and we do not see the results. Or we may never see the results. And so this is what I want to kind of categorize what we've been covering so far in these several months. With all of these heroes of faith that were named, to some degree, they all received the confidence of what they hoped for. They trusted in the Lord. They said, God, I'm trusting you. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. And then God came through. But then there's these guys that we read this morning, is they experienced a lot of persecution, and they did not receive what they were promised for, but they were also acting in faith because they were being sure of what they did not see. So there's two parts, right? Confidence of what we hope for, and then the second part is being sure of what we do not see. Is this kind of making sense to you? Somewhat? All right. I'll ask you some questions, and then you tell me if it's one, confidence of what we hope for, or if it's two, being sure of what we do not see. Okay? Some of it is... Okay, anyway. All right. So, situation one. You order food on an app, and it gets delivered to your door. Is it one or two? Good, you're getting it. Okay, why is it one? Because you ordered the food and then it came. He's like, I put my trust that when I order on my phone, even though I cannot see the food or who's bringing the food, but then maybe 30 minutes, maybe later, then someone came to the door and gave you food. Good, that's confidence of what we hope for, okay? Situation two, okay? You sit in your chair believing it can support your weight and it does not collapse. It's one, because you are directly experiencing the results of your faith, right? The result is the chair is not collapsing, right? So I believe that this chair can support, you believe this chair can support your weight. So you sit down and you're like, oh, I'm right, right? It's not collapsing. Good, confidence of what we hope for, all right? Now let's talk about things that we do in church or in ministry, okay? How about this? Maybe you spend months meeting up and discipling someone younger than you, but then for whatever reason, they turn away from God. Is that one or two? It's two, right? It's like, I believe and I trusted, I invested in this person or in these many people, and I did not see the results of what happened. Does that mean it was a failure? No, it's still faith, okay? Getting a little bit more serious, okay? How about when you pray for healing for someone, okay? So let's say you pray for healing and you pray really, really hard, but then the person doesn't get healed. What is that, one or two? Two, right? Because Lord, I believe that you are my healer. I believe that you're this person's healer, yet I did not see them get healed. It's not a failure, actually. It's still an exercise of faith, okay? Okay? The other week, I was speaking at another church, and I invited a man to come to the front, and he had shoulder pain right here in the right shoulder. We prayed for him. I prayed for him three times, and then at the end of three times, he got completely healed. And the youth were shocked because they're like, what? God heals, right? What is that, one or two? It's one, right? Confidence of what we hope for. Okay. All right, how about this? 2 years ago, we planted New Vine in Mountain View, okay? And now we're seeing, according to Douglas, 70 to 80 people attending, and with about 15 to 20 of them unchurched or de-churched or not being plugged into a church community. Is that one or two? It's one, right? As SJCAC, we stepped out in faith. Oh, what's so funny? As SJCAC, we stepped out in faith. We went to Mountain View, and now we're reaching people that may never have been plugged into a church before. That's one. That's a real example of how we're living out our faith right now, right? How about this? In 1956, Jim Elliot and four other missionaries attempted to evangelize to the Waldani tribe of Ecuador, sharing the news of Jesus Christ, but they were killed and they never saw the results of their missionary efforts. It's two. At least for Jim Elliot, right? He died never seeing the results of his faith. But actually, it is an amazing testimony, right? Because afterwards, they went back and actually the tribe became Christians and they believed in Jesus Christ. Yeah. My point is this, is that there are so many questions in our life or situations in our life that we do not or may not even receive the answer to. We go through a lot of circumstances and it's hard. It's like, God, I feel like I'm trusting you. God, I feel like I'm putting my confidence in you, but I'm not seeing the results. And for a lot of us, you can get stuck on that. But what I want to encourage you this morning is that don't get stuck on not seeing the results. I'm not going to allow my unanswered questions to stop me from continuing to follow the Lord. And so for me, in my life, there's a lot of unanswered questions, right? So what I do is I take a mental note and I put it on a shelf. Say, here's question one, the other question on the question. Say, I'll just keep it there. Maybe the Lord will answer it later. Maybe I may never get the answer, but I'm not going to allow the question to prevent me from continuing to follow the Lord. And I think that is an exercise of faith. While we don't understand, while we don't see the immediate results, we still continue to love and follow the Lord. So now you see here in these five verses again, is that these guys were exercising faith because they were sure of what they did not see. Okay. So let's read it together one more time, understanding this new perspective. Okay. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they may gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So I want to present this to you. Faith defines my circumstance. Circumstance does not define my faith. Faith informs my situation, meaning that when I'm in a tough situation, I believe in the truth of who God is, and I'm not going to allow my circumstance or my situation to discourage me or lower my level of faith. I'm not going to allow the situation to decrease my level of trust in the Lord. I'm not going to allow my discouraging situation to decrease my obedience to the Lord. I'm not going to allow my circumstance or situation to prevent me from stopping to follow the Lord. So if I pray for someone and they don't get healed, it's okay. It does not negate the fact that God is still a healer, and I'm still going to believe that 100%. So you pray for someone 100% believing that God is a healer, they don't get healed. God is still a healer. I pray for someone 100% and they do get healed. God is still a healer. Like, the situation didn't alter who God was. So that's what I want to propose to us today, that some of us are going through really hard circumstances. Some of us are in really difficult situations, but don't let that readjust the level of trust and devotion in following the Lord. Continue to follow him 100%, and don't let your experience to shape or alter or lessen your view of the Lord. Okay. So going back to the first question that I asked you, it's like, okay, I went through like very difficult circumstances, but it felt like God didn't come through. I think part of it sometimes when we're asking this thought or this question is that actually I noticed two things that come out of that. One is conditional, meaning that God, if you do or if you give me this, then I will give you quote unquote faith. Okay, Lord, if you let me get into this good college, then I'll go to fellowship and I'll go to church every Sunday, Lord, and I'll give you my faith. God, if you help me land that next job, if you give me that, you know, that, what's that thing when you step up? Promotion. If you give me that promotion, oh, Lord, I'll start tithing. Lord, I'll go to church every Sunday. Like, I'll be really devoted. All right. Actually, what that is conditional. You're being conditional in your relationship with God. Or another word is transactional, what Pastor Ted was saying. It's like, if God, if you give me this, then I'll give you that. Think about the martyrs, all right, in those five verses. Do you think they were saying, oh, God, if you spare me from jail, then I'll follow you. Oh, Lord, don't kill me. Like, if I don't get killed, then I'll give you my life, Lord. Do you see how the question or the thought is fundamentally wrong? It's not about transactional. It's Jesus Christ, you are worthy. And Jesus Christ, you are my Savior. So I'm following you no matter what. I think that's a more proper way of looking at it. The other thing is rooted in circumstance, allowing our past experiences and circumstance to readjust our level of trust, devotion, and obedience to God. I think for a lot of us, we can think of several very discouraging circumstances in our life. And it actually has adjusted the level of trust, obedience, and devotion to the Lord. And that's not right. We need to come back to the Lord and say, God, I want to redevote myself. God, I want to give you my whole trust, my whole devotion, my whole obedience. So faith is unconditional. Okay. It's not this, then that. It's Jesus, I'm following you no matter what. And it's not rooted in circumstance. It's rooted in his word. It's rooted in the word of God. Trusting in his word, not our experience. A level of trust, devotion, and obedience commensurate or equal to what God says. Okay. So if I read it in God's word, I believe it, and then I act. Okay. And so this morning, I want us to reflect upon this question. Okay. How have I allowed discouraging circumstances to change my level of trust, devotion, and obedience to God? I want us to spend some time this morning to ask the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Like, is there something in my life that I've not really surrendered to you and allowed you, Lord, to change? Okay. And then the second part is that I want to give us time that we can pray and commit ourselves to follow, trust, and obey God. Okay. So I want to ask, okay, so if we understand faith, right? And if I understand that, okay, faith is confidence in what we hope for, but it's also being sure of what I do not see. Why should I have faith even in the first place, right? It's difficult, right? Why should I place faith in Jesus? Because Jesus Christ is worthy. It's not a question, it's not an answer that we always like to hear, but it's because he's worthy. It's because he's worth it. It's because he's worth it all. Let's read Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We follow Jesus and we exercise faith because he's worthy, because Jesus Christ died for you, because he saved you, because he was the only one that could wash away our sin, because he put his Holy Spirit in us, because we are preaching the gospel and making disciples to all nations until Jesus returns. That is why we have faith, because he is worth it all. And so we remember this, that Jesus Christ is worthy. So I want to give us some time this morning. This morning we're also taking communion, and we remember Jesus and his sacrifice. But this is what we're going to do. I'm going to invite the communion stewards to come forward, and they're going to pass out the elements, and we're going to sing a song of worship. But then after everybody has the elements, we're going to go back to this question. How have I allowed the circumstances to adjust my faith? And then in groups of 3 to 5, I want you to gather, and I want you to pray and just make a commitment to the Lord this morning that says, God, I thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your body that was broken for me. Thank you for your blood. And God, I just want to lay down whatever circumstance you are going through and allow the Lord to speak to that, and then commit yourself to the Lord. So you'll go one by one, and then after you pray, then you can take the communion. And if you're not taking communion, it's okay. You can just pray, okay? So maybe let's stand, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. And then I'm going to invite the communion stewards as we're worshiping to hand out the communion elements. So as the worship team gets ready, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'"
I've forgiven because you were forsaken. I've accepted. I'm alive and well. The Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die? For me, It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Lord, so we say that in all that we do, God, that it is our joy to honor you, God. And we say that it is a joy to follow you, Jesus, God, because you died for us, Lord, because you saved us, God. Just like what we said this morning, who alone can save themselves, Lord? But you alone can rescue. You alone can save. You're the worthy one, Lord. And so, God, we remember today, God, that it was your body that was broken for us. It was your blood that was shed for us that enables us to stand, Lord. And so, God, today, yeah, we just get rid, Lord, of any compromise, Lord, or any conditional mindset that we have towards Jesus Christ, Lord. That when you call us, it's all or nothing, Lord. And that when you call us, Lord, it is not out of obligation, but it is out of joy, Lord. And so, God, I just ask, God, that, yeah, we want to switch that this morning, Lord, that following you is not a burden. Following you is not, look how much I lost, but it's look how much I gained, Lord. So I want you guys now, you can find a group of 3 to 5 just around you. And I want you to just pray a simple prayer. It says, of commitment to the Lord, just thanking him for his sacrifice. And then after you pray, you can take the element and then you just go around and just pray together, okay? So just do it one by one. So go ahead and find 3, 5, just some people around you and just take some time to pray this morning. And if you don't have, you're not taking the communion, it's fine. You can just pray, okay? Thank you, God, today that we honor you and that you are our joy, Lord. And so, God, I bless each one of you that you will see things from the Lord's perspective. That's the word that I felt like the Lord was saying, is that sometimes we see things only with our perspective and our situation. But I bless you today that you're going to see things from the Lord's perspective. And no longer will you gaze on yourself, but you'll fix your eyes and that you'll gaze on Jesus, just like what it says in Hebrews 12, that you fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith. So I bless you today with a new perspective, that as you fix your eyes on Jesus, that God's going to help you to see the situation and the circumstance with a new set of eyes. And I bless you today that all the spirit of discouragement, all the spirit of just feeling down, we just cut that off in the name of Jesus. And bless you today that you receive fresh faith, a fresh fire from the Holy Spirit, fresh encouragement, and even joy in such midst of difficulties. I bless you with joy that you can rejoice and you know that Jesus is just real and that he is working even though we cannot see it. And so, Lord, yeah, we just received this from you this morning, and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.